Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. This will be hopefully another entertaining episode for you guys. We've been dodging and weaving and choosing our punches here as we do on a weekly basis, and maybe a little more extra than normal because of all the life things that we have going on. And who am I talking about? Who is we? Well, I am one of your hosts, Barry Johnston, and with me as always, my co-host, the professor, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. Thank you very much, oh, smiling sensei, my dear friend. Yes, getting today's episode out to you guys has definitely been an Olympic event. We should definitely get a medal.
Definitely.
I was definitely at points thinking about I didn't want to throw in the towel, you know, but it was getting close there.
Yeah.
We had a lot of technical difficulties.
Weird technical difficulties too, man.
Technical difficulties, stuff that we haven't had before that really messed up some interviews, but we'll be able to figure those out. We had weird connection issues on my end. My internet was spotty at best. But you know, this is life. These are the things you got to muddle through, to keep going. And you just got to keep, you know, plowing ahead, you know,
life
throws you curves.
Absolutely.
Hit those curves and ride them out. You know?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I'm still without internet. And here's the weird thing is that you would assume, right, that in Dallas, Texas, you would have a bunch of internet companies to choose from. Not the case. In fact, there's one internet company that we have to choose from, and they haven't run a line here yet. So, it's just turned into like this thing where we've been here for a couple of weeks and we're still waiting on them to get a line run. They showed up at the house like a couple of days ago. And they're like, yeah, we're going to have to, like, drill underneath your driveway. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, we've not run a cable here. And I'm like, well, that seems a little bit weird. And so, anyway, I get that squared away. And then yesterday, I get a knock on the door. And it's, guess what? A second provider that has now come into our area. So I'm like, what is going on here, man? So now I'm like, well, if you're cheaper than the other guys, then, you know, we're going to go with you. But yeah, so, and
cheaper and quicker to get in.
Right. And my freaking phone. Of course, my service that I have, my service provider, my phone signal kind of sucks here. So we're just like, it's the kind of thing where like when you're laying in bed at one part of the bed, you have one bar. Yes. And then as you move just slightly, you'll get the second bar. And then, you know, it's just so, it's irritating.
Yeah, the internet is a mysterious thing, dude. Trying to capture it quality-wise, you know, at my house, I have my computer right in front of me, and then I have a TV in my den/studio area.
Yeah.
And I have a TV, you know, less than a foot away to the side. And it'll either be where my computer can get clear, crystal, running internet, no problem, like a mighty river, or the TV can, and then the other can't. It's
weird.
You know, it doesn't work. It's so strange.
Yeah, that is weird, but, man. And you got the is your modem like in your house? Like, where is that located? Is it?
It's in. You know, it's about
the other room,
20 feet away. So you know,
weird. Yeah.
You know, it is so strange.
Yeah, it is, but, man. But yeah,
modern life.
Yeah. So we deal with it. It's fine. Everything is good here. How are things with you, man? How is the life in your neck of the woods?
Oh, you know, my life in my neck of the woods is fairly perpetually the same. I don't change very much. I'm very in, not in a, so much a routine, but I'm just, you know, I don't have a lot of crazy adventures or anymore these days. I just, you know, mainly just I work and then I come home and I chill out with my cats and, you know, and read and watch TV and usually at the same time. But I tell you, I watched this. My recommendation for this week is there is a new Batman animated series on Prime.
Okay.
And it is fantastic. Nice. It's, in my opinion, it's probably the best version of Batman that we've seen.
Wow.
It's very much in the spirit and style of the classic 90s one, late 80s, early 90s one that is like the standard. But the stories are much darker, more noir. You know, it's got a very much it's like it's a 40s kind of a feel.
Oh, cool.
It's, you know, it's. It's got that same kind of style, art-wise and storytelling-wise, but it's a little bit more mature.
Okay.
There's a few cuss words thrown in just to let you know. It's violent, but it's not, like, gory or anything over the top. You know, it's not for little kids, but teenagers and above.
Yeah.
Really good. And, I mean, the stories are, like, good crime-type, you know, stories that are like, you know, like Law and Order type good.
Nice.
You know, like the level of like really they got really good people producing it, really good, and good writers and good people overseeing it. And they had, they dropped 10 episodes for the first season. And I, you know, just binged it all in one night. Just didn't plan on it. Just was like, bam, all the way through.
Oh, that's great. Are they 30-minute episodes?
Yeah, okay. Roughly like 26. But yeah,
yeah, you know, great, man. That's awesome. We, you know, it's, it's good when you find good things to watch.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I was very pleased, very happy, and you know, it's you know, and I mean, obviously, I'm a fan of the superhero genre, and you know, I'm so I could be a little biased, but at the same time, I'm highly critical because of that bias.
Right.
So yeah, that's why I say, you know, like everything is done, you know, and there's been a few, they altered a few things. There's been, and then people are like, you know, throwing out the woke word because they've made the Penguin is a female, it's a woman, and they made the Commissioner Gordon and his daughter are black, and you know, in the last movie, Commissioner Gordon was black, so it's not like it's a big thing. It's not a, big thing. It's just a thing that they're doing to make it new and different from other versions. Yet having it very much entrenched in the regular traditions and mythos. And,
yeah, nice.
You know, Batman, and it's not, and it doesn't change anything. It's not like, you know, anything too radical. You know, it's not like Batman is got 17 arms or whatever, that'd be stupid. Right. But anyway, it's really good. Nice. I highly recommend it. You know, just give it a shot. The first one is, you know, it's all, it's good. It's a really good series.
Nice. Nice. We watched, Godzilla and, King Kong.
Oh yeah.
A couple of nights ago. So, but man, you know, again, it's just so we're like, you know, it's like we're hooking up the wife's computer through her phone and like trying to find the, oh man, it's been one of those, past couple of weeks, man. But, yeah, I'm excited to get to the show today. We have a great guest on, she's from our neighbor up north, Canada.
That's right.
And, we were so happy to spend some time with Miriam.
Yep, that's right. From Toronto, Canada, is Miriam, and she's got she educated us quite a bit on some esoteric topics we really didn't know a lot about. And this it's a very educational episode in that regard. So, Miriam, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Well, sure. I am. I do a lot of things. I'm a writer. I'm a tarot reader and a psychic medium and astrologer. So, yeah, that's what I do. And I'm quite frequently a writer. I write on a platform called Medium.com.
Okay.
You may have heard of it. But I write whatever I want. You know, I talk about what I need to talk about from my soul, what needs to be said. I've riled up a few people, and that's cool because I like doing that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
it makes me a bit of money anyway, so it's all good.
Good.
But yeah, so what I do is, like I said, I'm a tarot reader as well and a psychic medium and astrologer and all that. So that is just who I am. I am definitely one of a kind. I've been told I've been one of a kind, and it kind of makes sense because I don't like to conform. I don't like to be around the sheep. No, not me. You know, it's funny because back in the day, I was, you know, the odd one out, the bullied scapegoat, right? Mm-hmm. And I so desperately wanted to fit in, so desperately. But now, after so many revelations, so many tower moments, it's like, screw that. Yeah. Okay, screw that. You know what? I don't want to be like a bunch of sheep. I'm totally cool with being an outcast. Whatever. You know?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Definitely. Yeah.
Let's talk. So like your childhood and growing up, like when did you start getting into this type of stuff?
Well, it's interesting because I have to say that I wasn't so much into it when I was a child. Now, I do remember when I was 16, I went to my first psychic fair and I was like, whoa, this is cool. Okay. Really cool. Like I didn't say to myself, oh, I can see myself doing this. No, I didn't say, I just thought, oh, this is cool. I really resonate with a lot of what's here.
Yeah.
So I was very curious about it, but I actually didn't really start getting into it until I had my daughter, which was over 22 years ago now.
Okay.
So, that's when I started and, you know, I was with it on and off. I mean, there were a lot of horrible things that were happening, you know, in my life after those years. And I talk about it in my book, which is called Overcoming Echoism, with using tarot, right? So how to use tarot to overcome echoism. So that's an echoism is extreme people pleasing, pathological people pleasing. So I talk about how to use tarot to get yourself out of it. But I also make it clear that you have to work with a therapist because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a therapist. So I can't be the one to tell you, you know, I can't be the one to tell you what to do. It's just a tool to help. But if you're not in the mind frame to do it, then don't. You know, this is right. Just something that if you think you're ready to do, then yeah, I say that's a good idea. But there was a catalyst that happened in my life that got me out of it. And I talk about that in the book, too. So,
Okay. Did you have a religious upbringing?
No.
None. Okay.
No. Had nothing to do with that.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you get interested in this stuff after your daughter was born, right? Is that what you said? And so what was the catalyst there? What was the thing that you were like, okay, here's a light bulb moment?
Okay, so here's the thing, right? It had nothing to do with my daughter. It actually had to do with my son that I had several years later. He has complex special needs. I did everything I could to help him, therapies, and society expects these parents to take care of these kids for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. I was literally dying. I was about 300 pounds, okay? I mean, that's how bad off I was. Mm. And I was also just so depressed. I was almost catatonic. So it's like either I'm going to please society or do what's best for everyone because I was very close to snapping. So I did what was best for everyone. And I got him moved out to a residential placement at 13 years old. And that basically saved me. Wow. So, I mean, I've always struggled with my weight. I mean, I'm not a skinny mini, and that's fine. That's not what I care about anyway, but I'm not 300 pounds anymore, and I never will be, so.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
That's got to be just a tough decision.
It was the hardest decision I've ever made in my life, but it was the best one because he's so much better off where he is. This was in 2017 when this happened, so.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. So that kind of, I guess, in a lot of ways, it would have probably alleviated a lot of the things that come along with that. Now, maybe you had a little more time to be introspective and figure out spirituality for yourself and that kind of stuff, right?
And I can be the mother that my daughter needs.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I couldn't help my son. I tried. I couldn't. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's important to when you are, again, just as a human being, that you recognize that, you know, you try and you try and you try, and there are just some things that you're just not capable of doing to provide because other people are, you know, that's their institutions and places mm-hmm. like that that are specialized in that and that help, you know, and that make that life for you, but also for the child so much better, you know.
Absolutely, 100%. And he's much more productive. He's, you know, he's high functioning anyway, but his behaviors were really the problem more than anything. So, you know, but I've been told I'm selfish, like, oh, well, that's a terrible thing. You should have kept him home. Okay, you have no idea. Do you want to walk in my shoes for a day? Just for a minute, then I think you'd think differently. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really nobody's business.
Exactly. No. Yeah.
You know, that's a personal choice that you make. And it's from the outside looking in, I'm sure people have opinions on that. But until mm-hmm. you're the person that is making that decision, you know, we just had somebody on that was talking about their parents at the end of their lives. And like she had to make a decision and some of her family hates her for it. But, you know, you weren't there. You weren't privy to the information. You mm-hmm. know, you weren't living someone else's life. And it's easy to say that, you know, I would just do that, you know, and it's like, you don't know till you're in there.
No.
And like Adam said,
those coals,
like Adam said, that's a brave thing to come to grips and the decision that you have to make everyone's life better. And that's a tough decision, but it works out and it was supposed to happen. You know.
It was absolutely 100%. There were a lot of karmic reasons for what happened, and I know it, but that's like a whole other.
Okay.
That's a whole other discussion right there.
Yeah. How did you develop your skills? So all this is happening, right? You got a lot of life things happening. What is the thing that is like, okay, now this is a path I need to follow and I need to figure that out?
Yeah. So, oh gosh, you know, it's really hard to answer that because I'm not exactly sure what I started getting more into astrology initially, and then I fell more into tarot, but then the mediumship didn't really come until a few years ago.
Okay.
I remember having a reading with someone before that, and I said, well, I'm not really a medium. And she goes, actually, you are. You just don't know it.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. And after practicing, I go to circles every week, and it's amazing what I realize I can do. And I've even had astrologers tell me, you've got a really interesting aspect in your chart. It shows that you're super intuitive. So it's like, okay, cool. So it's just a matter of falling into it, and you just have to naturally be ready for it. And I know my daughter has these skills too, but she's not ready yet, and I understand that because she needs to experience more of life before she gets into it. But I know she's got it in her. So,
did you feel that as a kid, like yourself? Did you have that intuitive thing as a kid?
Sort of, I did, but I really like my daughter is right now. I didn't really. Didn't really think too much of it, right? So I just wasn't ready.
Right.
So, like I said, when I was 16 was my first time that I was really exposed to it. And I thought it was cool, but I didn't really think more of that until after I had my daughter. So all pretty interesting.
Is there something in your family, or do you have other family members who have besides your daughter, to have had this ability, or similar abilities, or even different type of abilities? We find it seems, especially amongst women, that there's kind of a lineage. There's kind of
The thing is, I 100% don't know, but I do suspect there were some on my father's side, some women, like the females on my father's side, I think, had it, but we don't know 100%. I don't know for sure, but obviously there's something there. So,
yeah, Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man. So how do you develop your skills? You know, somebody says, okay, you have this gift. Now, how do you get from there to you're now comfortable with, like, you know, taking
practice.
Okay.
Practice. You got to practice. That means you got to give a lot of free readings until you're comfortable to charge for them, which I obviously do charge for them now. But for a long time, I practiced on friends. Like, you got to practice. You may have a really good gift, but you got to strengthen it like a muscle, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, think about math, for instance. Some people are good at math. And then some aren't, like myself. I suck at it, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, you could, if you're good at math, but you don't do anything with it, it can atrophy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to just work at it if you want to use math in a career or something. So it's practice. That's really how you do it.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
And is that the same with your mediumship?
Yep, all of that, okay. Everything. And, you know, I do find that if I hadn't practiced for a while, I can get a little bit rusty, but I do tend to pick up pretty quickly, right? So it's important to just keep it up. That's why I like to go to my weekly circles if I can, you know, so.
You do astrological work?
Yep.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
Because
it's such a confusing topic because.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, to outsiders,
Yeah.
Sure.
So what is your process for that? And what are you trying to accomplish? What do you look at? All that kind of stuff.
So, okay. So you probably are used to the horoscope in the newspaper or whatever, right?
Yeah,
or modern day online magazines. Yeah. That really means nothing because your sun sign only takes account for just a little bit of who you are. There's just so much emphasis placed on the sun sign. Mm-hmm. But you got your moon sign as well, which was the moon, the sign that the moon was in at the time of your birth. And you also have the rising sign, which was the sign that was rising, which represents your personality and how others perceive you. Your moon sign represents your instincts, your emotional your emotional response to outside stimuli. But your sun sign just is you as a whole, but it's very general.
Yeah.
You also have the houses, which are the areas of your life in your chart. So that's where it gets a little confusing. But you also have like Mars, Venus, Mercury, and Jupiter, and Saturn, and Uranus.
Yeah.
The butt planet.
Never gets old.
No. And Pluto, and there's others as well. Chiron, which is the wounded healer, and Lilith, which is your dark side, the shadow side, and all that. So there's just so much. And there's different types of astrologers. There's a way to look into your past lives, too, with astrology. And there is so much. I was actually talking to an astrologer recently about that, and it's like, you know what, you could go on forever about astrology. There's millions of types, and I've only just really, honestly, it's best to just specialize in one thing or a few things, because there's no end to it. It's not possible to master all of it. You can't.
Yeah,
you absolutely can't, you know.
Yeah, and there's
like, I focus on Western astrology. Yeah. Right. There's Vedic astrology, there's Chinese astrology, there's Egyptian astrology. I mean, it goes on. It's like, oh my goodness, you know?
So is there like, so what I'm gathering from what you've said and a little bit of what we know. So basically, is it that these planets and the things that are in line in the universe at the time that you're born, it affects you, right? Is that the idea?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It shapes up who you are, basically, and there's no coincidence. You are bringing in past life karma as well, based on where the planets are and how they relate to one another, because you also have aspects. Some easy aspects mean that there's gifts. Harsh aspects means that there's lessons that you got to learn, and those are really hard, especially when it has to do with Saturn.
Yeah.
Because Saturn is the strict teacher, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And but Jupiter is the planet that is like the Santa Claus of the zodiac, right?
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it's like those are gifts that you brought in. Oh. And if your Jupiter is in really bad shape, then that means you honestly did not bring a lot of gifts in. You know, you've got a lot of lessons and stuff.
Is there something you can do in your life to change that? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to be reflective within, and you got to strive to being better. And just, you know, you got to be authentic too. With you, sometimes you're not going to be ready for it. And you know, you got to do what's true for you. You know what I mean? So I'll just give you an example. I mean, listen, I've had a lot of trauma, and I know that there's going to be a lot more to process, because I've got in the next couple of years, I got a big transit coming up that's, I know, going to open up some old wounds, and I'm just preparing myself for it. But you cannot fall for toxic positivity and spiritual bypassing, because it's just going to make things worse.
Yeah.
Toxic positivity is when you are told to dismiss your very real feelings.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going to have some not so nice feelings, especially when it has to do with grief. You're going to feel depressed, resentful, jealous. You're going to feel that.
Right.
But it's just, it's really just being stuck in it. I mean, you may not be able to overcome some of those feelings with good reason, but it's just, don't get stuck in it. Just, you know, keep it away. Just keep it. If you may not necessarily overcome it per se, but don't let it control you. That's really what it is.
Right, right.
I'm also tired and sick and tired of these new age narcissists, because that is what they are. Mm. They basically throw toxic positivity at you. They gaslight you. They gaslight trauma victims. They say you planned your trauma before you incarnated, and no. I have my own opinions about that, and no, that is a misuse of the free will, especially when it comes to bullying and abuse. Yep. That's the misuse of free will from others. You may have come in with a lot of lessons. You may have had soul contract with them, but it's all about free will, and it's a risk. You may be aware that there's a risk of it. I mean, the way I think about it, I think of two football teams that are, their goal is to win, right? But they're going to be facing the other, and you never know what's going to happen. That's the plan. They have to face one another. The goal is to win, but they could end up getting hurt. They could end up, you know,
right.
Yeah. So you don't plan that. It just, it's a risk, right? Yeah. It's a risk. It's
right.
The same thing.
Yeah.
But they also tell you, there's so many, oh, I can't stand them. I seriously hate them.
I can feel
it. Hate is a strong word. You
know? Yeah, yeah. For a Canadian to be this angry is...
Oh, God. I don't want to get into politics hockey, right so now, just... but I can tell you that a lot of Canadians are very angry right now.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. I say that in jest because...
Yeah,
because I know. You know, I've been to... And I have some Canadian friends, and the first few times I was in Canada, I was just... I couldn't get over it because it's like America without the problems. And like,
got the problems.
I know. But it took me a little while to understand the Canadian sort of way and how angry they can certainly get. So, but yeah.
Yeah. We're just angry about the.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard it all.
Yeah. But yeah, life is tough in that way because you're always trying to balance like all these things. And the astrological thing is interesting in that way because it's a way that I don't think about things too much. I mean, my wife is into astrology and things like that on a light level, you know.
Okay.
Daily horoscope type thing. Actually, I got her a calendar for her birthday that was tuned to her, like you had to put in the time of birth and all that kind of stuff into it. And the calendar is so, I can't understand it. It's so in depth that I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I think it's interesting a way to look at things because all of the things in the universe have an effect on our bodies, our minds, our spirits, all of those
100%.
Things. Yeah.
And our pets.
Pets,
I was even talking to an astrologer. Said, you know what? There's a thing called dog astrology. You know, and there are astrologers that can actually find out when your dog's birthday is, or cats, or whatever, and they can do it through rectification because a lot of people don't know when their pets' birthdays are because they're rescues, right?
Right.
I mean, I know when my dog's birthday is, obviously, but I don't know what time he was born, you know.
Right.
You'd have to rectify that, but that takes a lot of work. But yeah, it's like, but you know what, it's interesting with animals. When it comes to astrology, from what I understand, like, I don't do dog or cat charts. Like, I don't. That's not. But from what I've heard, and it makes sense, is that their moon signs take over more so than their sun signs because they're very instinctive, right?
Mm.
So that makes sense from, like, my beloved Bichon that sadly passed away in 2022. Makes sense for him. I got a cockapoo now, and it makes sense for him too, because my Bichon, his sun was in Sagittarius, but his moon was in Libra, and he was more like a Libra, very indecisive, very low-key.
Wow.
Was very picky about what he ate and all that. Very, you know, not enthusiastic at all, just so low-key and wanted to be with others. So that's funny. But my cockapoo now, he just had his birthday last week, and he's a Gemini, obviously, but his moon is in Aries, and he's very much very go-getter. He's a so in your face go-getter, and yeah, although Gemini can be a little like that too, just very erratic, very high energetic. But yeah, it's just so funny because even as a puppy, my Bichon was very chill. So yeah. it's funny though. And it's really interesting too, because, Sagittarius and Gemini oppose one another, and Libra and Aries do too. So I think it's so interesting that my old dog was a Sagittarius sun and a Libra moon, whereas my dog now is a Gemini sun and an Aries moon. I have no idea what their rising signs are, because I'd have to get that rectified, but I'm not going to spend money for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of moons, you know, I used to bartend, and I could tell when the full moon was coming.
Oh, we're going to have one soon, like tomorrow, actually.
Okay, but yeah. I could tell, man, because people's they would change, or or more people that had issues would be out and about. It's just one of those weird things, and you're like, and as I kind of tapped into it now as I get older, if things are getting weird, and it's interesting that you said that, because weird things have been happening in my life, and I didn't realize that the full moon is on its way, which makes sense. That is so interesting. So, what is it about the moon? What is it that changes our chemistry so much?
Yeah, so the different phases do. So when it's a new moon, that's when you have like fresh starts, new intentions, and you just have this feeling to, okay, let's start this, or let's set the intention. And then when it's the first quarter moon, you're going to look back and say, okay, so obviously, let's see how my intention's going. What other action steps am I going to take? There's a little bit of stress in the first quarter, but then when it's a full moon, there's a culmination. You get the insight that you need based on how you've done. Also, your intuition's super high. So you're going to, like, basically, you're going to see everything that is going to be shown to you. And that, I think, makes people a little bit crazy too, because it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this has happened, or I let that go, or oh my goodness, I know that I got to do better with this kind of thing. But at the same time, if you've been doing well, then you're going to know that too, right?
Right.
So it's just a lot of high energy with the full moon. And then as the moon wanes, then you're going to basically want to rest more and just sort of make plans for the next cycle. And it's not really a good idea to start anything from the new moon after.
Okay.
It really isn't, although I am starting something, and I know, but I've been feeling intuitively to do it. So sometimes if your intuition is telling you to do it anyway, then do it, because there may be, you know, a reason, maybe in your personal chart, it's a good idea to do it, even if it's not really recommended to do it otherwise. Right?
So, interesting.
Yeah.
Is it the same with the other planets then too? Like, are they affecting us like that? You know?
Yeah, they do. Okay. Different ways though. In different ways.
Subtle ways.
Yeah. But when Mercury, it's the planet of communication, when it goes into retrograde, which it will in August, that's when everything just goes haywire, plans get canceled. That's really not a good time to start anything new. It's not. Now, unless you absolutely don't have a choice, it's not a good idea to make any kind of big purchases or sign contracts unless there's a reason you absolutely have to. And if you do, you got to really read it over. Just literally read it thoroughly, because you could easily miss some things because Mercury rules your thoughts and your communication and all that. And if it's in retrograde, that means the energies are weaker, right?
Yeah.
So, but Mercury in retrograde is a really good time to brainstorm. It's a good time to clean up. It's a good time to organize. And you're also going to see people's true colors as well. So if someone hasn't, someone who has been backstabbing you, there's a good chance you're going to find out during that time.
Aha. Mm-hmm. Aha.
Yep.
How long does it take you to do, like, if somebody says, I want an astrological reading, how long does it take you to put something together like that? Like, is it pretty in-depth? Take a while?
Yeah, I mean, it takes a couple of days for me to, like, calculate. I mean, I got software to calculate the placements, but then I've got to use my intuition to see, you know, decipher. To literally see what's going on. So,
right.
So, yeah, I mean, it takes a few days for me to do that, so...
Do you do card readings also?
Yes, I'm tarot. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that locked in with the astrological stuff too, or is that
separate? But I can do card readings to just sort of give messages as well at the end. So.
Okay. Yep. Wow.
That's interesting. We just learned a lot about tarot.
I'm sorry?
We just learned a lot about tarot. We had our cards read for the first time.
Oh, cool.
One of our guests, and it was pretty cool. Neither one of us had, you know, really been through that or, you know, had it happen. Mm-hmm. And it was a really cool thing. So I was very curious about how you find out, like, you know, if you don't know the time you were born or.
Yeah. So, like I said,
stuff like that.
It's what I've done for clients is I don't do rectifications because it's just it would cost too much money. It would take me a lot of time. And there's a lot of, so it was just, I would have to just use my intuition, say, okay, do you have any idea of what time you were born? Like if it's approximate, and then they would say, okay, say between 8 and 10 a.m. So I would say, okay, let's do 9 a.m. and see how things are. And then, I mean, usually it's good enough. It's accurate enough. I just have to be upfront, say this is not going to be 100% accurate, but it'll be enough to see what's going on.
Is there a major difference between, say, you know, 2:38 and 6:24 in the afternoon? I mean,
yeah, there is actually, because okay. of the rising signs and that. If the rising sign is going to be that much different, that means the houses are going to be different.
What is so that? What is a rising sign?
So it's your ascendant. That's what I was saying. Like the, you know, whatever's rising, the sign that's rising at the time of your birth.
Okay.
That's how you appear to others. And that's how you view things. It's your rising sign, right? So, so yeah, that is a big difference actually. So, yeah, so that's the thing. It may not be 100% accurate, but I would have to give it my best intuitive. I would use my intuition to see what they're like and how they view things. And it's like, okay, this is, I bet this is the time they were born or approximate. So let's say, for instance, if they don't know what time they were born, and okay, let's just say that this is a Gemini. Okay, so let's say if there's a Gemini and they're like, well, I think I was born sometime in the morning, but I'm not sure. So if they seem very Cancer-like and they are, and just that's just how they appear and that's how they view things, it's like, okay, I bet anything you were born like an hour or I bet anything you were born in the later part of the morning. So we're going to put you Cancer rising.
Wow.
You know,
kind of. That is so interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
does that mean they're crabby? Yeah. If they're Cancer-y, does that mean they're crabby? Sorry.
Well, actually, they can be. Can be. They absolutely can be. And when they're, you know, every sign has a shadow side too, right? When, you know, they're it's a water sign. So they're going to be into family. They're going to be emotional. But they're going to do everything they can to make you feel at home. They would be the type to just invite a stranger in if they're homeless. Oh, have a nice meal kind of thing, right? But if you don't show them appreciation, they get cold and they can lash out at you. So But again, your sun sign only makes up a small portion. Like if you have a lot of water in your chart, then yeah, you'll see it a lot more because, you know, you got Scorpio and Pisces are
I'm a Scorpio.
Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting because I've met a lot of Scorpios in my life and like some of them are quite different. But when you look at the month, right? So you look at the month and you think, okay, well, there's, you know, roughly 30 days where, you know, a lot of things happen in 30 days.
Oh,
And so, you know.
And multiply that, though, by 24 hours in each day.
Right. A lot of things happening every second, every millisecond. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's interesting because I'm like, okay, because you always see like, okay, Scorpio, and then here's the sort of the layout for it. And it's like, well, that can't apply to everybody, you know, but I get it. I mean, it's just a way to encapsulate a month or whatever, a time period, you know.
Yep.
But within that time period, from what I'm hearing from you, there's a lot of variants that go on and that happen, you know. And so let me ask you this. How far out, and when I mean out, I mean, like physically, how far out there do you look into space or the universe to look for signs? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, is
like asteroids and stuff.
I mean,
and
like, you know, like, you know, the Big Dipper and shit. Like, are we looking past that? Are we looking past, like, you know, are we looking to other galaxies now also us?
We look at different constellations, right? Because the zodiac signs are different constellations, right? So that's really what it is. But, you know, there's like millions and millions of asteroids with a million different meanings, and you cannot possibly, know all of them. There's just a few of them, like Chiron is a wounded healer. There's also Lilith is not an asteroid, but it's the dark side of the moon, so it just represents your very secretive, seductive side, right?
Okay.
So so there's just a couple of other points in astrology. There's actually a million points in astrology that I can't even fathom myself. Like I said, there's no end to it. It's infinite. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, it's so overwhelming. That's why it's best to not only just stick to maybe one or two main things about it. Like if you're going to do Western astrology, stick with Western, like for instance, right?
Right.
I don't know Vedic. I don't know Egyptian, Chinese. I don't know any of that. So I've had readings. I've had readings of this. Very interesting, and it's very different. But there's no end to it.
Yeah, I'm Aries, so that obviously is the best sign, right?
Yes. Well, my daughter's an Aries too. So I'm a Leo. Actually, that's the best sign. But
although I am in the Chinese zodiac, I am Year of the Dragon, which pretty much, I mean, you can't get better than
I'm the Year of the Rabbit.
Yeah. Me too.
Oh, yeah.
A wood rabbit, yeah.
Okay, nice.
But I, like I said, I don't know much about it. That's all I know.
All I know is what I learned from the paper mats that they used to put down at Wong's in Hennessy.
Chinese place. Oh, yeah, that's how you know. Yeah, that's how you know. But, you know, I've actually had a few guests that talk about Chinese astrology on my podcast, too, so.
Well, let's lead into that. So first of all, what's the name of the podcast? And
The Tarot Table.
Okay.
So I obviously it airs every Friday. That's not really the best day to air a podcast, I know. But here's the thing, though. I don't only talk about tarot. I talk about anything that's esoteric. I do talk about mental health as well, a lot of it. And it's just raw spirituality with no BS, right? So I just talk about what's real. I do talk a lot about whatever guests I have, we talk about toxic positivity. A lot of times we do end up touching into that because it is a big problem.
Yeah.
And so I'm actually so busy with it. I don't have any airspace till I think March now.
Wow.
Next year, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah.
That's I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, so we understand.
And also, I am going to be launching, actually, I'm going to say resurrect, because I had this a while ago, another podcast in a couple weeks called The Expressive Mom Show. Now, it is based on a blog, that a very old blog I've had, and I've sort of let it collect dust, but I've just been feeling called to do something. It's like time to resurrect that podcast.
Great.
So it's going to be a lifestyle podcast. It's not really going to be about this esoteric stuff. You know, it'll be about, I'm going to talk a lot about self-care, mental health, especially among Good. Parents, but it'll be more lifestyle, like I said, too. So there will be other, I'll have guests, too, that will talk about pet care, you know, do it yourself, and whatever, you know, whatever I feel is going to be a good guest for the show. So,
Great.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that. I've already gotten a few solo podcast episodes are written out, so I just have to record them, and I'll probably be getting guests starting in August.
Okay,
so that'll cool. be cool. Yeah.
Are you doing like readings and stuff on the other podcast? Are you doing anything like that?
I don't really do readings. So now the thing is, what I do, I sort of do. So what I do is I pull a card for the guest who I'm going to introduce, and whatever card I get is what matches what they're about.
Okay.
And a lot of times it is really accurate. And then I talk about that card initially, and then I just go into introducing them, and then we just chat.
Nice. And are you like, you know, we talked about astrology, we talked about, you know, tarot cards, we talked mm-hmm. about mediumship. Are you bringing all these things together and sort of putting them into practice in like in one form? Do you know what I mean? So like,
oh, no, you really can't. You can't really do that. You can't, I mean, first of all,
so they're separate.
When it comes to mediumship, I mean, some mediums do, but I don't use cards for mediumship. Like I just don't. I feel it's distracting.
Okay.
I don't do so, but for astrology, you can use some tarot at the end. Like if there's a couple of messages, like pull a couple of cards just to give a couple of messages. But also just the tarot readings are separate too. So no, okay. I don't really like to combine them as much as possible. So, but that's just me. I mean, you know, there's a million out there that are going to do different, you know, do things differently, which is the beauty of it, because they're, you know, there's competition, but there really isn't as well. You know what I mean? Because somebody wants to get a reading from someone, they're probably going to want to get a reading from someone else to see what that other one says, right? So
yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And how many books have you written?
Well, I've written a few, but I'm not really, they're so old, I don't really market them anymore. But but the last one was just last year. So
oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have your blog, right, that you do?
Yep, I got my blog, I got my podcast, so yep. So I'm busy. I have to do a lot of things because it's what I need, right?
Sure.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah, you got to have an outlet, you know. Yeah. You really do, and to have an outlet that you can express your thoughts on is amazing. And I think Adam and I both feel pretty fortunate that we're able to do this as well, that we have this ability to talk to people mm-hmm. and to learn about them. And so we can hear your story and you're voicing kind of your experience, and we're getting to hear that, and we're learning. This astrological thing is something I'm still trying to.
Yeah. There's a lot to digest. There's really a lot to digest with it. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and Adam and I had our, you know, when we had our cards read, it was kind of cool because it was like, oh, wow, this is different. This is not what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of a negative, there can be a negative connotation when people talk about these things because they've been talked about in negative light. And it seems like there's a lot of that gets picked up by the, you know,
and that's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's just wrong. And unfortunately, there's a lot of really bad readers out there that are charlatans. There are. That's
right.
Why I don't like to do TikTok readings. I don't, because that's where the bad.
I was going to ask you because I'm ashamed to say this, but I spend a fair amount of time on TikTok, and
I do too. But I don't.
Every time I come across something like that where they're doing a live.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check it out for a couple of minutes just to see what they're saying, and then I'm out. You know.
Oh no! I actually, TikTok is my guilty pleasure, but I don't check out other readers, because I mean, some of them are okay, but I just don't feel that a lot of them are. But I just go to other stuff. Yeah. I follow a lot of funeral industry workers.
Really? Really?
I do.
What's that all about?
I've got a very morbid side to myself. Autopsy techs. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever get into that HBO series, the autopsy series with the guy who is Seed like under? The... Huh?
Seed Under? Oh, no.
He's like one of the Dr. Bodden.
I don't like to look at it. I just like to hear about it. I know. What can I say?
Yeah. No, that's interesting. It is fascinating. And
yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I don't know. I'm sure everyone's heard about the Return to Nature fiasco.
Return to Nature. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
Because I don't know. I don't know anything about this. What is this?
Oh, you don't know anything about it. This was in Colorado. Well, from what I understand, Colorado was the only state in the U.S. that didn't have any funeral regulations.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so listen, here's the thing. If anybody's listening who had family members that were victims of it, you know, I don't want to trigger them, but
yeah,
trigger warning.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
And yes. So yes.
Okay. So basically what it was over the course of 4 or 5 years, they found 200 or almost 200 decaying bodies in that abandoned home. And I
think that was Colorado Springs. Is that correct?
Yeah. Or Penrose. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it might've been, I don't know.
They claimed that they were taking care of the bodies in a holistic or natural way, right?
Yeah.
And come to find out, it was just like bodies stacked up and
because they offered cremations. So what they did was they got, basically cement from, Home Depot, and they crushed it and pretended those were ashes of, And it's unreal with the Halfords. That's who they were, the Halfords. What they did, they took that money from these poor grieving families that trusted them to, you know, do the right thing, do their job.
Yeah.
They took it, they bought expensive cars, they went on expensive trips, and apparently they bought a $1,500 dinner from Vegas.
Oh, my.
Here I am trying to figure out, okay, what restaurant did they go to? And, you know, here, you know, Las Vegas Phil on TikTok. Have you seen? Okay. So he goes over different restaurants in Vegas. Some of them are super expensive. Like, I'm thinking to myself, you know, just my, I got a twisted side. Like, oh, I bet they went there.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to know. Cryptocurrency, like all kind, like unreal.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. So, yeah.
That is crazy. You know, there was a story about a graveyard in, I think it was outside of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And they were digging up old bodies and selling the plots to new people.
Yeah.
And the families finally found out. And I think they sued them for millions and millions of dollars, man. What an awful thing to do.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of bad apples in the funeral industry. There's been other stories like what Return to Nature did on a lesser level. And even in England, there was a case recently as well like that. Just unreal. Wow. You know, it's greed. You just don't know who's trusting.
Greed does terrible things to people.
I know.
You know.
I know.
But
it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrible.
Well, how can people get in touch with you if they want to? Where are you and how do they get in touch?
Oh, well, I'm everywhere. So, You can basically reach me on beacons.ai/MiriamRachel. That's one. But I'm also on Instagram, which is also linked to there. Miriam Reads Tarot on Instagram. I also have a site, MiriamReadsTarot.com. But you know what? I am going to be giving it a bit of a makeover. So my links don't work on there right now. It's just I'm focusing on so many things. That's why I haven't gotten to it yet. So I'm basically in different places. Okay.
Well, cool. That's awesome. This has awesome. Been a this has been a great conversation. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, definitely.
Learned a lot for sure. Yeah, especially cool. We're very undereducated on astrology.
Thank well, a lot of people. There's a lot. It's very. It's one of those things where you gotta take an onion and keep peeling layers and layers and layers. You know what I mean? So.
For sure.
Very cool.
Well, cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you, Miriam. We appreciate that.
Yeah. And, thank you as well.
This has been fun. Get this. We call it What's Your Weird Story, right? But we don't limit it to weird stories. It's true. Sometimes we have crazy travel and epic adventure stories. Sometimes we do book reports and other special episodes. Sometimes we'll cover some weird news. Sometimes I'll see one of my oldest, dearest friends just dancing around and punching the air for 5 minutes before we sit down and record an episode. But hey, it's all good because it's fun to talk to people, to make new friends, to get in touch and reacquainted with old friends, and hear amazing stories.
Well, Miriam, thank you for coming by and sharing your life story and educating us. And we always like to talk to people that are, well-versed in things that we aren't. It gives us an opportunity to learn and to be students. And, just great conversation.
Yeah, astrology still is one of those things that is very... You know, it is still very esoteric, very mystical, kind of mysterious to me. I don't understand it. And even when it's kind of explained, it's still a bit out of my, my ken, as they say, out of my knowledge base. But it still was very interesting to learn about that and to learn that, it's not just people that are affected by their births and the planets and as animals as well. And I guess, that makes sense that if it's a living creature as a human is affected by the planets and the stars and the heavenly bodies, then, an animal would as well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And there's so many different angles to it as well, and different people that study astrology, they have a different way of doing things. And it's cool to learn. And, it's one of those like mysteries that is, we're born into this strange world and the way that things are when you come in, could affect the person that you are. It's just interesting, man. And I was talking about, I had gotten my wife one of those astrology calendars for her birthday. And it's pretty in-depth. It's not the most in-depth one that you can get, but you got to put in the time of your birth and all that kind of stuff. And then it gives you a personalized calendar. And that thing came in the mail and I'm like, what? I have no idea how to read this thing, because it's got all these charts and you got these, you calculate these things. And I'm like, man, this is... super in depth, but really cool, man. I mean, I don't, I don't close my mind off to anything in this weird world that we live in. And why not? Astrology couldn't be a thing. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, it's another one of those tools that helps you kind of, that can help you guide yourself through life.
Yeah.
You know, just like tarot, as you mentioned.
Right.
It's one of those tools that it's not necessarily going to tell you your future per se, but it can give you an ideas on how to interact and, you know, or change, you know, think about things and make, you know, your decisions, however, you know, you interpret this information.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. You know, that's, you know, it's cool. So we appreciate that. Also, you know, the when she brought up the funeral home scandal there in Colorado, it's so wild that when that happens, man, because there's so much trust that is being placed in the when we bury people, the process of that, because it's one of those saddest times. It's highly emotional time in any of our lives, going through grief and all of that, and you put your trust in people that to take care of those final preparations to, you know, with the body and with how they, you know, you expect them to be honorable and to do, you know, the right thing, do the things that they say they're going to do. And when somebody just pulls a terrible scam like that, it's just awful. It's awful.
I mean, I can't imagine awful. What those families went through with all that. I mean, that is that's definitely not a time to be playing games. And it's awful when you hear stories about that. And, you know, I guess the moral of the story is just keep a close eye on what's going on, you know, and even though it may be difficult. But just fascinating stuff. And again, we appreciate Miriam coming on, and, you know, great to connect with another Canadian. We love our Canadian friends that have come on and spoken to us. And we want to interact with you. We want you to come on. We want you to tell us your story wherever you may be in the world. We've had people from all over the world come on the podcast and tell their stories, and we get to connect with them. We get to talk to them. We get to make friendships happen. And this has been one of those episodes where we come away with a new friend.
Yes, it's the joy. It's one of the pure joys in life to make new friends, to make new acquaintances, to hear someone's story and to share in that bit of their life, and to be able to have these great conversations that we can, you know, share parts of ours as well and identify. And, you know, it's we've said it before, we'll say it again. It's the reason that we love doing this. It's just so much fun, and it's so personally rewarding. And we hope that you find it rewarding as well and entertaining. And, you know, like Barry said, we want to hear your stories. So get a hold of us, contact us through our social medias, you know, or What's Your Weird Story. And you can, follow us on our social medias as well. You can email us at wywspod@gmail.com. And you can, you know, we still have that hotline open. It's been a while since we've been anybody made the hotline go bling, but we still have it there. It's 513-909-9821. Feel free to call us, leave us a message there, and we appreciate everyone that listens and shares their stories. We appreciate all your support. And Weirdsville is the coolest place in the world, hands down. We didn't get our Olympic team quite ready and sanctioned this year.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It'll happen. It'll happen. We're definitely shooting for the Winter Olympics, I think, you know. But, you know, speaking of Olympics, man, so many highlights. But definitely the handgun guy from Turkey. Have you seen him?
I didn't see it, man. I've been out of the loop, man.
Dude, he is just ace, man. He got silver, I think. but all he's 50 years old. He's, you know, got salt and pepper hair and glasses. Doesn't have the fancy over the ear noise cancellation things. He doesn't have these super highfalutin high-tech glasses that the aim and, you know, improve his aim and stuff like that. He just has the gun, his hand, his eye, and his aim, and, you know, just like the barest of essentials.
Yeah.
And yet he still, like, he took over, you know, took over the internet.
That's awesome.
Took over the world, but, you know, with being super low tech. And it just shows you that it's the skill that what it is. You know, you can have these things that can help you, but it's the skill.
Yeah.
That is what is so remarkable.
Absolutely, man. I love, that's why we love the Olympics, man.
Yeah.
We love those stories, man. That's so cool, man. I have to check them out for sure.
Yep. Cool deal. All right, Weirdsville. Thanks for tuning in once again. We appreciate it. We love you. We've got great stuff coming next time. So much great stuff down the line. And, oh, Barry, it's, you know, we're inching closer and closer to our anniversary show.
Amazing.
What's it going to be? Who knows?
Who knows?
But it'll be at the end of the month, so.
It'll be fun.
It will be fun, and we hope you join us then for our anniversary show. But we hope you join us every week, as you do, and, you know, let us know what you think. A lot of great feedback from last week for Jeff Lawson, his wild stories, a lot of great feedback.
Yeah.
So thanks again, and until next time, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.